calls to the word. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skransky.
Here.
Will you please stand and join me in the pledge of
allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, I just wanted to apologize for not being able to be here last night. I thought my injuries with my legs were all over and done with, but I went down to the Greater Milwaukee Committee, the University Club, and climbed two flights of steep stairs and I think re-injured all of the things with my knees. So hopefully, it won't, by the end of the meeting, it won't blow up into a grapefruit again. So again, my apologies. First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Any citizens wishing to speak? Yes, sir. If you could please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Kurt Bolton. I live at 8035 West Imperial Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. I did take the time to look at the sewer extension cost recovery policy. I think on the whole, I thought it was somewhat of a shallow document. It doesn't provide pros and cons or the different alternatives. There is no outline of the logic behind the final proposed policy. I guess I would be surprised if the council took action on that tonight, but you choose as you choose. Despite that, I think there are a few things that I would like to say that I do believe in. When it comes to residential development, I don't think the city should be involved in that. I think that should be an economic decision based upon what the developer feels is the best in his interests. When it comes to industrial development, I would say that would be a very interesting discussion, but I would think that getting the city involved would certainly be an alternative to be discussed. It does talk about a uniform factor for an impact fee. And I think that would make sense if the development was uniform. In other words, if it was all residential or all commercial or all industrial. But I think if it's a mixture, then there might be some other factors involved, such as flow factor as well. So I was hoping that the council would keep that in mind.
Thank you very much. Any other citizen wishing to speak during the citizen's comment period? Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen comment period? If not, I'm going to close the citizen comment period and go to announcement. I don't know if I have the spelling. We do have one of the scouts with us tonight. Did you happen to bring the scouting?
No, I'm sorry.
You did not. So I wonder if we could, Ms. Laverta, would you be able to lay your hands on the resolution for Eagle Scouts? It was just over Sunday that we awarded two Scouts, Eagle Scouts awards. Lisa put the proclamations together. And while you're doing that, we'll move on to the minutes. Oh, wait. You have in your packet an announcement, Mayor Taylor, upcoming events, news items. Under news items, you have in your packet packet of information that was shared with the Plan Commission. It was shared with the Plan Commission because the Plan Commission has had a lot of involvement in the economic development issues of the city. Also wanted to talk about the draft economic resource guide that staff of the city was able to put together. It is a draft, but it takes us on a road where it's updated. It will be available to the Ford Franklin Committee so that it can be worked into their plans. It has many, many links to valuable sites and goes off of the documents that have been in place. And just before I turn it over to you. The other thing is we passed out two CDs to the Plan Commission. I believe that the Ford Franklin Committee has some of this information. The rationale for this was that contained in the Comprehensive Master Plan for the city, it takes us out to, I think, 2035. It incorporates the Tickner report. I found out the other night, I didn't know this, that we actually had a Tickner 1 report that laid out, was instrumental for the use in the creation of the first business park. So I would think that Jack Bennett told us about this. And actually the Tickner report that we talk about all the time is Tickner 2. And that in that report, as Alderman Olson knows, there were, I think, 11 sites that started off with, many of which were on 76th and Ryan, some were on Highway 36 and Ryan Road. It's not that those sites were abandoned when the R.A. Smith report came down to 5. It's just that those sites were deemed not to be able to be developed until such time as a sewer came in. So they're still in there. There was feasibility studies done on that. And before we can move forward with new economic initiatives, development initiatives, I think it's very important that we understand what's called what's in concrete as far as the unified development ordinances, the plans that have been laid with Tickner 1, Tickner 2, the R.A. Smith implementation guides. We have a plan for the South 27th Street corridor. We have a plan for the Civic Center overlay district. We have plans for the Fountains of Franklin. We have a crossroads plan for, 36 and Highway 100. And then we have plans for Area D, which is the Wheaton Franciscan facility. Area C, which came out of the Tickner and R.A. Smith reports, which is Northwestern Mutual, including that entire area. I believe it goes past, goes right up to Gander Mountain, or it may go very close to that. It goes from 27th Street to 35th Street. One of the reports, the public hearings regarding the R.A. Smith report, one of the citizens asked Mr. Smith, I think it was, so how much does this report cost? And in the, you'll see it in here if you do a search of these documents, he responded and said $400,000. So the city has made enormous investments into economic development plans that can be modified, they can always be altered, but this wasn't just the plans of people sitting on boards and commissions of the city. This was the product of going out and getting in consultants, highly respected consultants, after a bidding process, which I think I was sort of involved in when I was an alderman. I know I was totally involved in the R.A. Smith report. I think before we can really start to move forward on a lot of these initiatives, we need to understand what's the history, what's in place, what things can be altered. If we're going to alter things, that there is a public hearing process. Going to change ordinances, those things need to come into the council. There's an entire process on that, and that we in fact do have not only an economic development plan, which the Comprehensive Master Plan mentions, we have several economic development plans in the city. Are they the ultimate best plans? No. Are they better than, let's say, 3/4 of the 1,800 communities in Wisconsin? Absolutely. There's no comparison with other communities. So with that, I wanted to bring that to your attention. And in the packet, you'll also see that I think it's something like 80 $7 million of development occurred over the last 3 years. And I have reports that Mr. Doug Wheaton gave me back to 86 that take economic development for the city up to about, I don't know, just $200 million or something. It's just that that information hasn't got out to the general public. Alderman Taylor and then Alderman Lowe.
Real quickly, just the fact that this hasn't come to the Fort Franklin Committee, and right where you said that, that would be heading our way. So I think, Mark, is this what staff was working on originally months back?
Yeah, this is a piece of that, and this draft will continue to improve.
Right, actually, there's stuff that was there before that's
yes.
not there now, and that. So I want to see when it comes there, bring what was there originally and then what's here.
Okay.
Yeah. Or what we were working on that brought it to us so well and what's changed.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I think this is a good start. It's, I guess, it, you know, it's a nice job for what we were given for what staff. I know it's not really their job to do the marketing, but I think the marketing image is an impression more than substance, and I feel like this has more substance than acting as for marketing image. So I would like to see it, you know, spruced up and given maybe some marketing eye. Some of the auto formatting needs to be fixed up. And on my copy, I noticed a large map that gives an overall sense of where the inner areas are is on the back of the page. And I would think that first place you'd want to look at is the overall map, and then you would go to the breakdown of that map. It seems it would make more sense that way. So I'm wondering, what's the method and timing for elected officials to be able to provide input to this draft resource?
Well, there's just something that we wanted to get out to the businesses right now so we could use as a recruiting tool. But the Forward Franklin Committee, I haven't looked at their agendas, but I'm guessing you have a meeting coming up shortly. I would ask that maybe this be placed on the agenda if it's not already there, and that the elected officials that want to have input into the process give that input to the Forward Franklin Committee.
I would think that it would be wise to have a nice guide that looks good and appealing and draws people in rather than be in a big rush. I mean, we've waited this long. What's a little bit more time to make it appealing if we're going to spend the time and money, especially to print it up, that it should be more appealing. And certainly, it doesn't draw me in to read this. I've looked at this thing and opened it up probably a dozen times in the last 3 days, and I have yet to finish a paragraph to read it, so I think bullet points. It says under business climate is heading, and then under that heading it says Franklin is a family-friendly community, which to me doesn't really go with business climate. So, and then each one of these say Franklin is, Franklin is, Franklin is, which could be eliminated by saying Franklin is once and then putting bullet points underneath it. You could eliminate a lot of this extra wording and make it more catchy. So, and I'm certainly not a marketing person, but I know what I see, what I like when I see it, and I'm not sold on this one, so let's polish it up a little bit.
I guess to quote former Alderman Bergman, who used to take great pride in saying that he considered himself to be cheap, the document that you have in front of you required no additional dollars, unlike the glossy brochure that we still have hundreds of. That was well over $7,000 to $9,000 in putting that together. We still have that available, but this document also can be placed on the city's website. And the rush for the document is business doesn't wait for anyone, and that you know, we need to. I've heard it time and time again that we need to have a document. We need to have something for the members of our Forward Franklin Committee, for our CDA, and for our aldermen to have something in place to give to the businesses. While it's not perfect, and I said that, it is available. It can be pulled off of the internet and provided not only to the businesses in this area, but globally. So, you know, we have some really talented people that sit on Forward Franklin. some of which are professional marketers, and I'm hoping that they take this document and they rework it and come back. I'm also aware that there's a Facebook page that's been created for the city, and I think that's John Micklig was explaining to me how that would work. I don't quite figure all of it, but it sounds like a really good idea.
I think the Forward Franklin Committee is reviewing it, but it would be a really good addition to this.
Okay, well, that was for informational purposes. Anyone else have any comments? If not, we'll move to, let's see, I have, one Eagle Scout here, and can you just tell me where your address is?
5037 West Forest Hill Avenue.
Is that your area?
Doug's?
Okay. I'm going to ask you, Alderman Schmidt, if you'd be kind enough to read this proclamation. I just simply can't walk up there. So. And you and I have already met, and you already got one lecture for me. You don't need another one, right? I think I told him that we expect great things from him, and that very, very proud of him.
City of Franklin Proclamation, whereas the conferring of an Eagle Scout is the highest award that can be bestowed upon the Boy Scout, where less than 2% of all Scouts achieve this goal, and whereas such award is an earned award that the recipient must perform and successfully complete the past rigid requirements exacted to achieve an Eagle Scout award, and whereas Timothy Gerald Rutkin has served and has been a member of Boy Scout Troop 539 for the past 7 years, earning 30 merit badges and achieving the rank of Eagle Scout on July 27, 2011. And whereas Tim's Eagle Scout service project consisted of organizing a team of workers who put in a total of 135 hours building 10 wooden benches for the St. Martin of Tours Cemetery, benefiting parishioners and families of those buried in the cemetery, and whereas Tim's parents, his scouting leaders, friends, and the community are proud of his achievement. Now, therefore, I, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, do hereby recognize Timothy Gerald Rutkin on the occasion of him becoming an Eagle Scout, and ask all residents of Franklin to join me in congratulating him on his outstanding achievement, January 7th, 2012.
Speech. Give me a speech. How about your parents? Anything you'd like to say about your wonderful parents back there that helped you through this?
I very much appreciate all the help my parents have given me along my scouting career and in my life. They were probably my number one supporters in getting up to this or reaching my goal of becoming an Eagle Scout.
How about a nice round of applause for the parents? Thank you so much. We do have another proclamation for another Eagle Scout, but I think we'll try and invite them to come in at the next meeting. Alderman Wilhelm?
I just wanted to ask you to
come
up if you could.
Okay. It means I have to put my glasses on so I can find you. I'm trying not to have my leg blow up on me here. Item 8, no objections. There was a request to move up to item 8. Go back to the minutes. Item 8, Mr. Deedle.
And a representative is here as well if you would wish a presentation or have any questions. Briefly, this is a PDD amendment. The old Golden Corral site, that project was approved by the city but never came to fruition. The property owner and Gordon Food Services have put together a proposal to build a marketplace here, a grocery store with some elements similar to Walmart from the standpoint of larger items. It will be leased by Gordon Food Services. They will construct this 16,000 square foot building. And a second phase is, room is left available for a second phase. No idea what that would be or when that would be. As a PDD amendment, they did have to review and meet not only the normal zoning requirements, but the 27th Street standards as well. They did need six waivers from some of the standards that they didn't meet. They obtained those waivers from the Plan Commission. The Plan Commission did make a determination that this was a minor PDD amendment. And I guess the bottom line is that they are hoping to move forward with this project as quickly as they can. And the Plan Commission is recommending approval.
Alderman Wilhelm.
And you felt that they put as many of your suggestions in as possible. I read through as several of them were covered in there, and so you're good with that.
And the Common Council's as well. There was a constant review.
Right. As District Alderman, I'm prepared to make the motion to adopt the ordinance to amend Section 15-3.05415, the Unified Development Ordinance Plan District Number 10, Riverwood Village, Culver Access Development, to authorize a Gordon Food Service Marketplace store at approximately 6919 South 27th Street, Gordon Food Service Marketplace Realty 5 LLC, Disneyland.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
No.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Do we have anything else on that subject on the agenda? I just want to say thank you for your time and patience and going through our process. And I think the people of Franklin and the surrounding areas are going to be very well served by your business. And after going to two of your locations and talking to your employees, I could not have been more impressed with it. It's just nothing but a quality operation. So thank you very much. If you have any more businesses, bring them down. Okay, minutes. Regular meeting of December 20th, 2011.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item one, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G2. Resolution authorizing issuance and sale of up to $27,562,754 in general obligation sewer system promissory notes. Mr. Patterson?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I have a few questions. I just need to understand how this is going to flow as far as tax levy issue. Will this be showing up on the tax bill?
Mr. Chairman, we have Rebecca Speckert from Quarles & Brady. They're our bond counsel. They put together this last step in the application process, and she's here to answer questions. So,
But I think the question on this particular one is, will this be showing up as a tax levy increase or a tax levy issue?
No. The short answer is no. Longer answer, correct me if I'm wrong, in order to issue promissory notes, you have to have a irrevocable levy as part of the resolution. The resolution can be, the taxes can be abated by other payments, and the payments we're going to get from MMSD under the Intergovernmental Cooperation Agreement will cover those payments, so there won't need to be anything levied on the taxes.
That's what I thought, but I didn't read that in any of the information that part was included. So at what year will they start taking over those payments?
They'll start making payments in 15 and catch up with past payments in 17 and 2015 cooperation.
So what happens between 12 and 15?
All of the interim payments, this will close on the 25th. We will wire the amount to all payments that have been made up to this point, and then twice a month we can submit payments, and they will send the payments back for construction invoices. So if we get it right, we'll time it so when you approve it, they've already received it in Madison, and they'll send us the money within a day or two of our approving it. We'll hold those checks till we get their money, and then pay us goes out each meeting.
Okay, so there won't be, in the way it reads, that they'll be levied upon all property taxes.
Right, Alderman, on page 4, I think that's where you were looking at, perhaps. 6A, there is a provision there for a levy to be levied, and then the amounts are shown. That's assuming the principal amount of the notes is drawn, because the notes are structured as a drawdown note, such that the city would only be drawing proceeds from the state as those proceeds are needed for construction, and interest is only starts to accrue on amounts when drawn. But the levy schedule, assuming the entire amount were drawn, so worst case scenario, is shown here in the dollar amounts. But there is a provision in here that, and that's in subsection B on page 4, the second sentence provides that tax is going to be carried onto the tax rolls, provided that the amount of the tax carried into the tax rolls can be reduced in any year by the amount of any surplus money in the debt service fund. And that's the intention, and the provision of the resolution is that the tax can be abated by any amounts that are paid to the city. My understanding is that the city has an intergovernmental agreement with MMSD to provide for those payments to be made.
So we're hoping we're going to time this right so there won't ever have to be a tax levy on the property owners. But we're not really guaranteed that unless those payments fall into place. But we're pretty sure, right? But no guarantee.
It's a contract.
Just a question, because I've been through this as an alderman when the issue of the law enforcement payments came up, and then with the library. My understanding is one of the reasons that we do this and take advantage of this is because if we had to go out and pay off, we had to take a loan out. Because we do have a contract. It's not that it's just like a contract on one's home. It's not that you can ignore this. You have to find different financing schemes. But this would be far lower as far as the cost than going to a general bank.
That is correct. The base rate that the unsubsidized clean water fund loan is at 4%. And this interest rate on this promissory note is 2.462%.
I think there's also been some confusion out there that there's been things that have appeared, Mr. Patterson, regarding costs associated with debt service of I think there's some figures that appeared in the budget about 411% increase. But when I saw that, I contacted you and asked you about all that, and I think you said that there were some mistakes that were made in the final document.
We did cover that. We hold that the G3. That's covered in that agreement specifically to that point. But on this point here, I've seen it. It says, why are we borrowing this money and how are taxpayers going to pay it back? The reality is we're borrowing the money to be able to build the project, which MMSD is going to pay for.
I just wanted to finish off in that you sent me an email some time ago that basically said there were some mistakes in there, and actually the increase to the operating funds was not 24%. It was 2.3% for the entire year. That's kind of a difference, a little bit of a difference. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Alderman Wilhelm?
The question about MMSC paying this back, is that something that, since it's not in this agreement, does the DNR, they're aware of that? They know that that's how
yes.
we're funding this?
Yes, they are aware of that.
Okay.
And I think they noted it in the financial assistance agreement, which was one of the attachments that was
okay.
submitted. they are aware of the MMSE's involvement.
Okay. All right. Motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Sound.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Anything else, Mr. Patterson?
Not have two. We have G3.
Okay.
The resolution authorizing the redemption of $6.15 million in general obligation promissory notes. Those notes were dated August 15th, 2005. What we're basically doing here is taking, for simplicity purposes, the $2 million that is due in 2013, 14, and 15, and we're prepaying it in 2012 along with the $2 million that's due this year in debt service payments. So this $6.15 million we're using investable funds that we're getting a third of a percent on. Stepping in place of the bondholders and receiving the 3.9% interest for those three years. The reality of what has happened is you have to show that as an expense. So that $6 million is added on to our projected expenses for 2012, and that single action caused a 16.1% increase in our spending. Of the total recent spending of 19.9%. It had been previously reported through information that was given to the newspaper that the increase was 24%. 2% of that was due to a cell reference error in a spreadsheet that was not ready for prime time, if you will. The other 2% was because the calculation was made not from the adopted budget but from the amended budget. Instead of a 24% increase in spending, we have, for all purposes, a 3.8%, and it's either a 1.3 or 2.3% increase. I just can't recall it sitting here for our operating funds, if you exclude debt service and capital projects.
Okay. Alderman Solomon,
move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carried. Thank you, as usual. I just wanted to comment that every document that you've ever brought to the city over all the years, I don't know if the word perfect is appropriate, but it's pretty doggone close to that. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
G4.
G4 is a recommendation to establish an additional SBA repurchase agreements as authorized investment vehicles. We started in February 2010, put our toe in the water and tried something new because it had a better interest rate. We have been rewarded with interest rates of 2%, and then on the repo B product, which came out in January 11th, of 1.5%. The difficulty is in this market, it's hard to keep the repo because they keep asking for the money back, giving us the money back, even though we don't ask for it back. There's a scheduling there that shows we were up to $12 million at one point in time, $12.7 million. That lasted for about 45 days, maybe 35 days. And the repo A product has been so popular that isn't available. And we went into the repo B product, which was loan certificates rather than investment certificates, and that was not significantly available. We just were able to get some right before the end of the year, so we're at $3 million. What we're asking for is not Bain's product, but two other companies offering the same product at the 1.5% level. And that's Solomon Hess product. They have Opportunity Fund and ESI Investors 3 Fund, which is another Solomon Hess SBA product fund. Well, Mr. Chairman, is there just a request? I believe it is another tool that we can use to try and find a place for money to pay us a little bit rather than the state tool that pays us 0.1% or other money market.
Vote and solemn.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I'll turn to recommendations from the police chief regarding corporal and sergeant positions in the police department. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have the finest chairman of a Kootenai Fire Police Commission in the universe. We're going to keep it down in Wisconsin.
And call that
okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. See? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Nice presentation. Thank you very much.
It's going. Keep that up. That's great.
And I really did mean that, Mr. Donovan.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for everything you do for us.
Am I next, or did you do 6-2?
No. One more.
Resolution approving revised job description for the police patrol officer. I thought I just kind of like greased the skids.
I'll make the motion to adopt the resolution approving the revised job description for the patrol officer.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Just your mere presence.
Thank you. I go home and eat now.
Yeah, nice going, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. Ambulance item G7, fire chief.
Good evening. During our discussions during the budget process and the subsequent deductions from the county for the supplemental paramedic supplemental funding for the system or for our portion of that, we discussed looking at the revenue and seeing if there was some room to increase the revenue for transport, for BLS transports, which is what this is about. So I am recommending an increase in both resident and non-resident BLS transport fees.
As you know, Chief Hooks contacted me and wanted to get something on the ICC agenda for all the other municipalities.
That's for the ALS.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's is this fairly consistent with other municipalities or below?
We have been at the high at the low end in the past. This puts us up to in the upper end, but we're still not the most expensive.
I guess the other thing is that you and I both have had many conversations about the likelihood of the county continuing any funding distribution funding for the years ahead, and maybe even the entire program. And I think all of us that have been on this side of the table come to the consensus after talking to many of the people that supported us at the county board that this is the end of any supplemental payments from Milwaukee County. So this is one of the reasons that this is before you, that we're pretty sure that most of the people in the city of Franklin love the EMS paramedic system, and we need to do something to continue that. Alderman Olson.
I understand all this. We're on the slippery slope now of fees, but this is a service. My issue is that we're slipping the residents' fee who pay taxes in this city, actually in a greater amount than we're doing by percentage. A non-resident. I prefer to see the resident fee stay the same and do the non-resident fee much higher to reflect the participation by the residents and give them some credit for the dollars they're already putting into the department. So I would, at this point, move the table. Let's have finance committee take a look at that and see if we can adjust the rates that are more equitable to our residents than our non-residents. To do that, Chief, of course, you're going to have
Well, I can provide you with the projected amount of revenue potential for non-resident just based on this increase is only going to produce about $5,000 of it, or $5,490 of additional revenue. The number of trips for, I believe this is 2009, for 61 non-resident trips, transports, VOS, compared to residents, 218. So the impact potential is relatively small. We can increase it like you're suggesting, but it would take us out of the we have a for non-resident rates right now, the highest is $700 a trip. So I guess I'm not. It's up to you. I have no axe to grind either way. I'm just saying that if we do not raise the resident and just raise the non-resident, the revenue collection from that is very small.
I understand that. Okay. I knew that going in as I was making my statement.
Okay.
But the purpose of the statement is, let's be fair to our residents. They're the one who foot the bill anyway. So rather than just blanket $100 each fee, let's take a look at it and see if we can come up with a better fund. That's the whole purpose of it. That's more fair to our residents.
Well, then we'll know.
So well, I don't get any support for the motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion?
I have a question.
One of the suggestions would be to split the difference, so we would be at 500 and then 700. And that still gives you a little bit what you need, but...
I don't know if I made it clear, the projection from what I was recommending here, projection based on the same amount of calls of that would not change that much, is about a $25,000 revenue increase. So it's just for your information.
Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think Alderman Olson, what he's asking for is to, take a look at it, kick it to the Finance Committee, and try to balance it a little bit differently. Maybe instead of $100 to our residents, maybe it's $60 to our residents, and it's or nothing on rolls, but this, we still have to come up with the money. So we can sit there and raise it up to $1,000 for non-residents if that's what it will take, but is that what we're going to do? And who usually pays for this anyway?
It obviously depends on the insurance. The Medicare only pays so much for transports, so the private insurance companies pick up their the total amount for that, and for Medicare, it's a percentage of it. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's
so. What you're saying is that
that's why it comes down to these smaller numbers of 218 and 61, because that's what you're going to get from your insurance companies. Where they'll pay the full rate.
Right. So then, how much of it then falls on the actual residents?
And I do have a breakdown here of if we raise it $25, if we raise it $50, if we raise it $75. So we do have those numbers available that I can share with the Finance Committee.
Yeah, so it means the residents are not footing the whole bill because there's insurance involved and other people,
right,
other
right.
entities paying. So we've got to be pretty clear here that it's not just the accident happens and all of a sudden in the mail the city's sending them a bill for $650.
Just depends on their situation.
Exactly. So we've got to not blow things out of proportion. We're going to be heroes.
Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Wilhelm and Spielberg.
With these rates, too, referring to what percentage Medicare would pay a resident without insurance might be billed with care amount.
Yes, you would.
I would concur with the motion that trying to find a variable for the residents that they would not be asked to pay the entire $100 increase. Come up with another alternative.
So what you're asking is that I bring forward different categories, amounts, and then we can choose from
the Finance Committee. Let's hash it out.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
We know the dollar amount you need.
Right.
Just to it.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment on the who pays. It really doesn't matter like who pays. The bottom line of your insurance, it's you're paying either way. But one thing that I experienced was if you don't take the trip to the hospital, your insurance will not pay it.
That's correct.
And I don't know if a lot of people know that. So if you're called, I know you can't advise them that, but the people that denied end up getting stuck with that, and that's a pretty big hit on top of what residents are paying.
Please understand, I find no pleasure in bringing this forward. We're in a position here where we lost some money from the county, and I think many of you suggested we look at some of these fees and bring them forward. That's what I'm doing. So.
Ms. Liberta.
Further delay in adopting it will make it harder for him to achieve the amount, forcing the rates to go up. Very quick math, looking at the numbers here, you're very close to reducing the resident one by $25, increasing the non-resident by $100 from what he has here. They about offset each other in lost revenue in one, gained revenue in the other. So, I mean, the math is pretty straightforward. It's very close to that. So if an amendment to the ordinance is allowable, you could do it as an amendment and save yourself a month of earnings, which are going to make it harder for him to achieve his debt.
Withdraw my motion.
Motion has been withdrawn.
What's the understanding of the amendment?
I'll withdraw my second.
All right. Mr. City Attorney.
Only that when the ordinance was prepared, it was the changing numbers of the code. And when that was done, the thought was must have looked at resident versus non-resident dichotomy and the issues that might arise from that. Whenever this is officially done, as I was ALS, BLS, and assume that it's done county-wide. So I'll just leave it at that as a perspective in detail.
I'll just throw another thing into. Oh, I'm sorry, Alderman.
No, I didn't. He answered my question.
And that's that county executive, ably, did not include the normal routine $3 million into his budget. Part of the rationale was that in the years past, the different contracts said that the municipalities have now gone into their own business. Whereas it used to be we had a central collection agency and the money would go into a pool collected by, let's say, the city of Milwaukee, and there was a lot of questions as to what happened with the money one way or the other and if everybody got their fair share of the distribution of that. But I think one of the other rationales was, and these are not my words and I don't concur with it, but he said something like, well, the insurance companies are going to be paying for these bills. Personally, find that's a bit distasteful. But what I want to throw out there is there's been a lot of discussions amongst other municipalities and chiefs, especially as we go through the ICC Shared Services Committee, that today you have Hales Corners, Greendale, Oak Creek. Are there others that are non-residents that have been using our service? A few.
Yeah.
There's been some discussion about, maybe Hales Corners will, and I don't know if this is true or not, maybe Hales Corners will just simply go and partner with New Berlin, or maybe Hales Corners will go and partner with Greenfield, or Hales Corners will partner with Greendale. And so what is now your customer, there's a possibility if the rates, if we're not competitive, I guess, that they could go elsewhere, and then you would have a revenue shortfall. So I just want to, when it goes to the Finance Committee, and I see Alderman Taylor already is knowledgeable that it's a possibility. We're the paramedic program in EMS for Milwaukee County is literally up for grabs, and many of us, Chief, think that the $3.8 million that the county has may no longer be there, or portions of it may no longer be there as well. So I just want to, when you're thinking about all of this, please put it into context, and I'm sure the chief can share that with Alderman Olson and Alderman Taylor.
Well, let's be clear. This is BLS service, not ALS. We don't share. We have a mutual aid agreement with Hills Corners, but we don't provide them service as a matter of routine from BLS.
Just if it's a special call.
Correct. So. Our at-risk dollars
for BLS, you're correct.
Our at-risk dollars here, a of a community saying, no, we don't want you to come anymore. It's not existing. So whatever we change the numbers to doesn't really matter because it's our business.
Yeah. I guess just as a politician, it's very easy for me to say I wish that people in Franklin did not have to pay for anything. That'd be great. And I wish that we would be able to lower it. But there is some realities to all of this.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, it's obvious the only reason we're even having this discussion was because the county decided to cut money from us and other municipalities. And in regards to Hales Corners, and recently talking to many in that community, it is very likely that if some of this stuff shakes out, that they will be going to a new world because they are cheaper than we are. So
you're also a lot further away than that was.
Alderman Solomon.
Well, I'd just like to mention that this replaces $25,000 that we lost. The scenario is, if we lose that county subsidy entirely, there's a good chance that this people on this dais next year are going to have to decide whether or not we can afford paramedic service or not. Because we're under state controls as to what we can raise the levy to. So we're going to be put into a situation where the level of service could very well be affected. I mean, the chiefs, we have talked about that. So this just, this is a minute increase for those that need it, for those that require it. I certainly would be willing to, pay my fair share if I needed that particular venue. I've been in that bus twice. I know what it is. And they provide a service that's needed. Ken
just drives.
I'm still at zero.
Yeah. So the scenario is, if you need it, you need it. If the service is there. A year from now, guess what? The service might not be there. So I would move to accept the chief's offer of a $100 raise for both non-residents and residents. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
This argument that insurance is going to pay for it and it's cheap service, that's all fine and good. But remember, our property taxpayers pay for great service to Hales Corners and ALS service. So let's try to even the playing field here. Let's let the non-residents pay a little bit more and not ding our residents as much. I don't see that to be unreasonable. And I don't think anybody's not going to take an ambulance service when there's one sitting in front of them if they're a non-resident. So, I'd like to modify the numbers. $460 in Section 1, and what is it, Mark? $710 for Section 2?
Is that an amendment to the motion?
In a second. Section 1 is the levy.
Yeah, if you make it $525 and...
So you're saying $75.
Yeah,
an increase of $75.
Bringing ours down to $25. Whatever you bring the residents down, you have to take your non-resident up by four times.
By four.
So it would be $525 would take you to $75. And then you have very equivalent net revenue.
My proposed amendment is $525 for Section 1 and $750. For Section 2.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Clerk, please take the roll.
This is on the amendment.
On the amendment.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
No.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. The amendment is accepted. On the main motion, all those that are in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Sound.
No.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Motion Motion carried. Okay, item G9. You should, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
You should have furnished you tonight a email from Mr. Wesolowski, who's running the Transpac Corporation. Is he right in front of you?
Yeah.
I received a letter, which I don't think is part of the package, Mr. Wamser, which was unpleasant, basically saying that, you know, paraphrasing, that he was a little bit surprised that he had asked me for a letter of support for this item and had not heard back, and various phone calls, etc. When I first received his request, I contacted the city attorney's office because the subject matter was a new subject matter that, I'll just put it this way, I did not want to lend my name, which in essence is support from the city, for a project that may have complications. I have a lot of requests for letters of support for various projects. I'll just put it in, not to say that this is identical to the request from Transpac, but let's say I had a request from a business that they want to put start a business with nuclear waste in the middle of the city and wanted a letter of support from me. The answer would be no. Or if they wanted to start a farm for hogs, the answer for me on a letter of support would be no. I'm very, very happy that I was able to send this over to the city attorney, who worked on the subject matter. And as you can see in your packet, after all was said and done, you have a resolution that goes way beyond what a letter of recommendation from the mayor would be, and it's asking for the common council's support for this particular issue. And the reason that you have it in front of you is because I believe this is a policy decision, and that until such time as the city, you being the city, takes a position on whether you think this is a good idea or not a good idea, I don't really feel inclined as the CEO of the city of writing a letter of support. And there could be all kinds of complications regarding new legislation that, unless you examine it, it's just simply not a wise idea to do that. In Mr. Wamser's letter, and I think we'll try and make a copy of it for you, talks about not returning phone calls in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph from Mr. Wesolowski. It says Assistant City Attorney Sajak met with Mr. Wamser. So, it's also my understanding that there had been several phone calls that were placed from the city attorney's office. So I guess I'd also say that as the mayor of the city, I do very much appreciate Transpac and the employees and all of that, but my first and foremost duty is to the 35,000 people of Franklin and to this county council. So that's why you have this in front of you. Alderman Solomon.
After reading the letter from Jesse, I would not support the resolution as it exists. However, if there be a paragraph in there of fees in lieu of losing future tax revenue, I could probably support that. We have done that in the past with other establishments. I consider the last paragraph on this particular letter from the city attorney as very, very iffy, where legislation could be passed that we would not have any input to, either at the county, state, or federal government. And I would want some type of guarantee that particular project or any future project moves forward with utmost consideration for our taxpayers.
Dear City Attorney, Alderman.
Oh, let City Attorney first. Go ahead.
Do you want to maybe expound on this?
only that perhaps the best way to describe the receipt of the foreign trade zone support request was my first thought was, well, this is foreign to both governments in general. I've been around a while and never heard of it. And this was about October 10th, right when, as you recall, things started up in a large project that required multiple items, special meetings and meetings in our Army Corps, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it might have been the same day, did a quick look around because all we received was a letter, and right out of the gate, what Brian Sadek actually found that day and sent it over was normally these zones are applied for by governments, public corporations, and I quoted some of the instruction guide from the federal board provisions, which says zone projects should be coordinated at the state level so that there's going to be state contact involved and you really didn't have any information. And ultimately, when we came up for air, I think this is accurate. All that we found was that the history of Wisconsin led the port of Green Bay, and the instructions that I quoted also refers to port authorities being amongst the types of entities that apply to this zone designation. About the port of Green Bay, as well as I think Austin Struble Airport, Brown County, found Port of Milwaukee. And then about 8, 9 years ago, Dade County Airport. And then you get on the former Department of Commerce site, really don't find anything except a couple of bullet points on one page about this occurring in Dade County with a reference that you can call probably a project manager, private CEO for the operator of that particular business, as opposed to having Government Information Bureau. And assistant city attorney followed up with calls to the state, couldn't find any specific office which assisted anybody with foreign trade zone application information, which we really started with zero on. And ultimately, we didn't find anything on the Wisconsin Economic Development site either, Economic Development Corporation site either. Mr. Sadek called Mr. Webster, got together with him looking for more information, and I think what he came back with was the application itself, that in effect the application had already been applied for. He said, well, it'll have to wait a further council meeting because from what we're understanding, there's appears to be one of the primary purposes of our trade zone is to by way of supremacy or federal preemption, waive personal property tax payment. It makes personal property taxes otherwise payable under inventory exempt. So that was tracked down through the state. And what he found was that apparently under current business operations, it's negligible if existing. That's doesn't come up with. And he did leave a couple of phone messages for me today because we found out about this letter. Last week, we still hadn't gotten a final word from DOR. I said, we'll go out to get it on the agenda. We should have tried to get it on the December 20th agenda. So it went on the agenda. We got the final word from DOR yesterday, the same day the mayor called and said there was a letter saying it's already been granted. And there's disappointment that there wasn't a letter of support. So the thought on calling today was to see whether or not any city action should be necessary. But I don't know what to tell you on that. Letter said it's already been read.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Taylor.
Well, it seems to me there's nothing for us to do. But what's at risk here is expansion of the free trade zone benefit to become an exemption for real estate property taxes. And that's hurt us big time. Lord knows regarding his personal property tax, Mr. Mayor, we can certainly keep track of his inventory. Really out in the open. So you know, maybe we can get a return phone call as quickly as it's expected and resolve that issue. But I motion to table.
Okay, second.
It's been moved and seconded under discussion. Alderman Taylor.
Well, Alderman Olson was reading my mind because as the mayor was talking about, it sounded like a very upset individual that we were not getting back to him. I'm thinking about 2 years ago.
I was trying to be diplomatic.
I know. Well, I'm not going to be, but 2 years ago when we look at this property, that there's packages, you can see everything that's out there, and we found out that was allowed, I guess. However, wasn't returning calls with us. We were waiting for responses, never got them. So that's the last person that should be asking us that we should get back to.
Notice motion to table. Is there a second? There was a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G10, consideration installing sanitary sewer water main on South 76th Street, areas where none are available prior to Milwaukee County restructuring. Should we be putting maybe restructuring South 76th Street? Mr. Bennett?
Yes, the county is planning, maybe, to reconstruct 76th
It's going to be a donkey path.
In 2013, although I'm starting to hear slippage on that in 2014, they've lost a good part of their staff that was working on 76th Street. But anyway, we looked at we'll the area forward that they plan to reconstruct and had found there are 3 sections that don't have sanitary sewer installed. And the reason for that is we did a sewer project and then there was a subdivision development and gaps were left out. And then generally our recommendation that we go in before the roads are reconstructed and put in the sanitary sewer. We've done this on Rawson Avenue. So Rawson Avenue was reconstructed. Years ago, we did that on Highway 100, Ryan Road from 27th to the Root River, and even some laterals that hadn't been expanded since there were some areas. And generally, so far, the property owners have been very willing to have it done. So it depends on what you want to do. In the past, we've sent a letter to the property owners explaining and asking them if they wanted to have it done, with the general understanding that if they don't do it now, that we won't enforce our maximum assessment. Therefore, it's going to cost more in the future once the road gets reconstructed, because we're going to end up damaging the road. In some cases, we have to make that action, which will be under the existing new pavement. So, I guess our suggestion is to go out and survey with the understanding that if they don't do it now, and it costs more in the future to do it, the city will not pick up.
Alderman Olson.
Well, this is for both Tim and I, but I would say we need to survey for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's always good to get your constituents' opinion and desires. Second thing is it also prevents us from getting the phone call after the road gets reconstructed and you go in for the sewer. And they say, what, are you stupid? No, we asked you and you said no, and now we got to do it. So my motion would be on behalf of Alderman Salmon to direct staff to survey.
Is there a second?
Chicken?
I vote for you.
Second. Oh, Solomon, I was trying to remember what your name was.
Colonel Claglin.
You know, even if you have a survey, this needs to be done. Okay. I mean, I agree with you with a normal way you should do a survey. Okay. This is not normal. I'm sure, you know, I get the calls when we had some other areas of the city where we put roads in. We made a smart move on 51st Street for the water. Got that done first, and then we did the pavement. What you don't want to have is a new road put in, and then you tear it up for even the ditch area. You go and tear it all up for a new sewer. This needs to be done ahead of time.
Now's the time to do it.
So now's the time to do it.
There is a second.
Your estimate on when would you get at this if it's approved tonight? Is this coming here?
Yes, we'd like to do this in 2012, assuming that the road would be constructed in 2013. And right now it's tentatively scheduled for that. Just a comment on what Alderman Solomon said. You don't necessarily, let's say you had just a slight majority that didn't want it, you can take the survey and then decide what you want to do, even though the survey may end up, maybe the majority is against it, but you decide that's still in the best interest of the city to do it. This is only advisory to you. So we have done the survey in the past, and it's at least one, I guess the other thing is, at least it starts letting the people know that we're considering something.
I know we had, excuse me, Mr. Mayor, mm-hmm. I did have a conversation with some of the people that put in a new church. They understand that they're going to have to pay for facilities.
The church won't have to pay anything.
Nothing left?
No, they paid for everything.
They paid for it up front.
Yep.
Okay. All right, because that was one of our concerns at that time. And there's a few homeowners down there that are elderly and probably won't want the bill, but it's still going to have to be done, whether you want to or not. So I'll support the survey at this time, but let my colleagues know that in the best interests of the city, this is going to have to move forward in a short period of time. And if it's done this year, that would be good, because we don't want the other north-south roadway all ripped up called State Highway 100. So let's get this done this year, because they're going to be moving forward on that in 2014-2015.
Yeah. Alderman Olson.
Well, just real quick. In my district, for the water, there's only three individuals that will be impacted. There's several parcels, but only three individuals. It's not a big deal.
Doug's got the other ones there. So.
Actually, this is all on his side. Okay. And the water impacts a lot more. But, yeah, it's got to be done, I agree. But let's get some input.
All right, the motion on the floor is it's been seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carried. Authorization to proceed with the acquisition of right-of-way parcels, construction of trail on the west side of South 51st Street and the south line of St. Paul's Lutheran Church to West Princeton Drive. Sounds familiar.
Mr. Mayor, at the last meeting, we were directed to look at where we would put our crosswalks. And we would recommend a crosswalk at Princeton. We have a walk on this is called Tumble Creek on the other side, Tumble Creek Drive, but we already have a walk. And you can see it much better in this map. Here is the walk on Tumble Creek Drive. So, meet the federal guidelines, we really have to have a crosswalk. We would make a pad here, so we have a crosswalk here. This would be somewhat optional, but since we have a school on the other side, it's a parochial school, it's not a public school, we would also recommend a crosswalk at this point. We have the stuff coming out, sidewalk coming out, and we would put a pad here, so this could also be a crosswalk. Just looking at what this would serve on the sidewalk on the east side could service this area. Well, it could service the whole, but I looked at people that wouldn't have to walk very far out of the way to get there, and there's quite an area that could be serviced down to Rawson Avenue. And with the proposal of next year or the year after, whatever it ends up, with sidewalk on 51st Street south of Rawson, this could be a safe route to school. And likewise, now there is the backtracking. This works out well for the north half. The south half, you do have to
cut through your
walk against direction and come back. But this does give the opportunity in the whole area to get down to the shopping center and maybe someday in the future on a safe route to school. Trails Committee is talking about the possibility of a crossing guard, and maybe if this ends up that it works out for safe trip to school, you'd probably need crossing guards at this for school children. Whether we'll get school children to walk that far to school, I don't know, but that's one of the things the Trails Committee is very concerned with. for the safe routes to school. It's quite important that we start working on right-of-way. My experience has been that right-of-way can be a problem, particularly if you have a person that really doesn't want to cooperate too much. And we have no idea. We need right-of-way from St. Paul Church, and we need right-of-way from a private property owner. So we recommend that we start the right-of-way. If I can negotiate something with the church, we'll try to do that. Obviously, the private person, I don't say we negotiate. We need to do an appraisal and go through, but we need the Board of Public Works, the Planning Commission. We need to start to the point that if we have to go to jurisdictional offer, we're in a position to do that. We can't rebuild the trail without proper right-of-way. Any questions?
Alderman Olson, Alderman Schmidt, and Alderman Skransky. I'm sorry, Alderman Skransky and Alderman Schmidt.
A statement and a question. The statement is we really need some help from the school district. We're building lots of sidewalks that remain unused. The streets next to them continue to be used. Even where we don't have sidewalks, we have children walking in traffic. We need help from the school district and the parents to teach these kids walk against traffic, walk in the shoulder, walk on the sidewalk when it's available, because we're investing a lot of money. And Mr. Mayor, you and I both know there's issues here that aren't being addressed, need to be addressed, and it's pure education and common sense. So that's my statement. My question is, where's the money?
We have money in the budget for the roadway reconstruction. We have money in the budget for the sidewalk.
And this would come out of...
Yes.
Okay. Alderman Skransky and Alderman Olson.
On those crossovers, one side to the other, is there a signal there or a flashing light that someone's going to go up?
No.
So you just grab your vest and run like hell and get across that road then, right? Because there's a lot of traffic that goes on that road. And by going over and when that road gets fixed up, nobody can be paying attention to those.
It would be a painted crosswalk, but there would not be any flashing. No.
No. Is that part? Would that be required by the Safe Routes to School or the sidewalk?
No, I think the Safe Routes to Schools would recommend crossing guards.
All right. So you mean we got to have.
I mean, you really don't want a child just because there's a flashing light to walk out across. Well, you teach children to look both ways to see if it's clear and not depend upon a signal. So,
in some,
I hate to say it, but you cannot legislate stupidity because
it's already there.
Yeah, I know. Between adults, I forget what road it was in front. I was just driving down it. There was a sidewalk there, and a guy's walking down in the road. Duh. You know, and he was a grown-up, so, you know, what are you going to do? But, okay, I just want to know, ask the question.
Alderman Schmidt and then Alderman Wilma.
Okay, well, the arrows that you pointed there, that is, on the east is at Xavier.
That's Xavier.
And the other one is at Princeton.
Is that at Princeton, yes.
So those would be lighted crosswalks then?
Lighted?
All right.
Reflectorized?
Reflectorized.
Yes.
Now... That's assuming now that the that sidewalk will go in on the east side, basically from the church up to Xavier. Are these crosswalks or something that the Trails Committee is going to be reviewing again this Thursday when they have their meeting?
I'm going to go over the whole project with them at the meeting. Yes. Now there is, you know, there are other things you can do on crosswalks. It's not the only area in the city with crosswalks. There are things you can do, and the Trails Committee has talked a little bit about it. They've talked about crossing guards, so that's something I think in the future you may end with some recommendation for the Trail Committee. But, I mean, that's throughout the whole city. That's not necessarily just here.
In the event, if we went with the original plan where the trail was going to go all the way up to Harvard Drive, there would still be a gap between Harvard and where Greendale Village limits are, where they go all the way up to the Greendale Village.
The original plan was to go to Harvard Drive, right. And Berkshire Drive this is Greendale City limits, so the only other thing you could do is to put a sidewalk on this side. trail committee, and I had sent them all a set of plans, a full set of plans so they could look at. The trails committee said, why not, what does this serve, one house? Why not eliminate this, put it in here, so we can get all these people down the site? And very frankly, I thought it made a lot of sense. But that's not the direction that I got from the council, and it wasn't our recommendation. I think ultimately, now, we don't have very far to go to put sidewalks on both sides. I really think in the future we need sidewalks on both sides, and that's actually what the engineering department put in the budget. It was a sidewalk up to Berkshire on this side and a sidewalk up to Harvard on this side. Berkshire is up here. But I think this is a good start, and if you have a limited amount of money, I think you get the biggest bang for the buck.
And if that is in the projections of how far down the road do you think that would be to actually extend those sidewalks, and if you're going to go all the way up to Berkshire?
I would suggest you answer that question, because it's a matter of how much money that you can budget for the sidewalks. We can build them if you can pay for
them. You build that
if you can
build
anything.
And if you did go up to Harvard, that would you would need then you would have to pursue like what one more right of way.
Yes.
Alderman Goldman.
Well, I think that I met with Jack and we talked about is this the section we should do or that section, and we looked at Greendale, and we always hear about Greendale, such a great community. And the things I noticed when we were looking at the map is Greendale is much more connected. And this is a new concept for Franklin. And until we have people doing this, we're going to have people not using the sidewalks and stuff properly because they're not used to it. So I think this is a good step toward fixing a problem with least amount of this. So I still would have liked to have some of the residents notified. And we haven't really talked much about having that meeting, but what happens is now we say, well, this is what you're getting, and it's all set in stone. And then Jack and I talked about this. The resident's going to say, well, you already made up your mind to get our input. And the previous project had said, well, let's go out and get people's input. So, but on this, we haven't yet to do that. So that might be something yet to be done. The other thing is we were foolish when we had that church go in and not do something about an easement on that. I don't even know how that was allowed to get through when that whole big project came. They tore a church down that was almost next to the road, and the whole project went through without getting any walkway across there when we knew the sidewalk ended right in front of their property. I don't know who did that, but that didn't make any sense. So there will be areas that the city will be responsible for plowing, and maybe just the fact that they would have to stop their plowing and begin their plowing and go around the church, that you say it would just keep running straight down in front of the church. If you give us the easement, maybe we won't have to buy that. And I think that should be part of the discussion. If Jack is allowed to go do this, I think maybe we should be open up to that consideration so he has that opportunity to do that. But I guess having a meeting and possibly a discussion are two things that I'd like to input from the rest of council members on. Other than that, I'm okay with the layout as it is.
Alderman Schmidt and Mr. Beck.
I'd like to move to authorize staff to proceed with the acquisition of the right-of-way construction of the trail on South 51st Street from the south line of St. Paul's Lutheran Church to West Princeton Drive, with the Board of Public Works reviewing and approving the legal descriptions and the Planning Commission determining the necessity that the additional right-of-way be limited to what is necessary to construct the trail, an additional 12 feet, and that single source be authorized to complete the two appraisals and negotiate the cost for acquisition of the two parcels for a cost not to exceed $6,000.
Second.
So moved and seconded under discussion. Mr. Bennett and all the
Yeah, I guess I would suggest we have an informational meeting, and if the council has no objections, I'd be willing to set it up. I think maybe we could have it at St. Paul's Church. I've talked to Pastor Adams on this project already. I do think it's advisable, at least for the people abutting the sidewalk. I think we know from the the homeowners association that they watch the sidewalk, so I don't think we...
She didn't leave yet.
I think we got that word.
Associations,
yes. So we would set up probably the typical DOT type of informational meeting where people can come in, we talk to them one-on-one, we can discuss trees and where it's going to be with them, and I think it's a good thing to do, and we'd be happy to do that. I don't know if we have to be directed, I guess... We do it unless the council has an objection.
Just do it.
Well, I would like that painted sidewalk crosswalks be shown on that presentation to the people. That was part of the previous motion. I guess I was expecting that it would be shown a little bit more tonight than just the lines. So that's the key to that whole connection on the other side. Without that, it's worthless. It's not even worth it to do that section if you're not going to do a cross-section. Hash marks on there. And I know there was some discussion on how we're going to get people to use those and use them properly. We had a grant that went out to have these flags that they use in Middleton all over where kids can grab the flag and walk across and they drop them in the box, but that didn't get funded. So that's something we could easily put together at hardly any cost, and maybe we could recruit the school to do a program or look for parent volunteers that might be interested. That might be something the trail committee might be interested in talking with the school district about.
Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Bennett, my recollection of this year's budget, recommended 2012 budget, was that I recommended that dollars go into the budget for PAP for the west side. First, you're talking about maybe dollars for the east side. What account does that come from?
If we stop the walk at Princeton Drive, we could use the funds that would have gone from Princeton Drive to Harvard Drive. It's about the same distance to go from the end of the walk up to Xavier Drive.
Okay, so it's no additional cost?
No additional cost. Correct. We would be taking this piece here. That's what the trail committee recommends, so there's no real change in cost.
So we wouldn't have anything coming back here that says, oh, by the way, maybe an additional $50,000 or $60,000. I mean, I've been trying to get this in place for a long time. I've had Mr. Haskins and many associations that have come forward regarding this proposal. Mr. English came here, and others, Soto's were here. And the rationale, which I'll never forget, was one of the individuals came and said, you know, you put Sendix in there, it's by our house. We tried to work with the city, we tried to do whatever we can, but you know, when it's all said and done, we can't even get to Sendix because the road is too dangerous. And so please put something on the west side of the street so we can get this thing done. And I think they were looking at, not understanding government, that this was going to be done in a few weeks. And now we're going to have more and more discussions about this. I want this done, and I think that the majority of the aldermen up here want this thing in place so that the condo association owners, their families, their friends, their children have a path so that they can go over to that Sendix and the other stores and have access to, and the bike trail. The bike trail is, OP bike trail was also brought up that, yeah, it's close to you, but you really can't get to it unless you get on that sidewalk. The last piece is that Alderman Wilhelm brought up about the right-of-way and getting, making sure that we secure that. It seems to me that you as the city engineer came in and as a professional recommended that the 51st Street go to 4 lanes and that you have sidewalks on both sides. After listening to the public, I vetoed the measure and said that the street should not be widened to 4 lanes, which also, for all intents and purposes, killed the sidewalks and the acquisitions property. One thing that I'm sure Alderman Taylor will remember is that I had people on the east side of the street vehement against any path going on their side of the street. And based on the survey or the petitions, etc., from the people, I went with the wishes of the people. I know Alderman Solomon was one of those that said to do it right and do it the first time with the four lanes of the sidewalks. But you know, if you want to go back and you want to trace the history, that's where it came from. And trying to do the best thing we can here. And I really like to see this thing get done, get a path in place, and let's go. I see this as a very high priority in the city. So that's it. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Please have it. This motion carries. The city attorney, you had brought up the matter.
Mr. Mayor, only at the end of the immediately previous item and until Mr. Haskins walked out right now, nobody's left the room since G10 was voted on. But right towards the end there, I started to raise my hand because, frankly, there were some comments by the city engineer about sending a survey out which asks people if they're in favor of something or not for informational purposes. And then there were other comments about and the rationale as to why this may be a public need project. So next item, Alderman Wilhelm had already said, well, why, like on the previous item, would you survey people and see what they think before a decision is made? So my only thought was that that item be reconsidered if the council so desires, unless Mr. for the purpose of directing the city engineer, unless he feels he has the discretion in the standard survey to note on the mailing to the property owners that the subject has been considered preliminarily by the county council and there is rationale that this may be a public need project without regard to survey results, just in case ultimately county council might say it's a public need case and notwithstanding the survey results, which can possibly create public perception that why are we responding by survey, county council's not listening to this.
City engineer, do you believe that you have the ability of doing what you do?
Yes.
For the record.
And then there's no need to reconsider.
All right. Then we can move on to
Mr. Haskins,
12. resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement to continue professional environmental engineering services to monitor compliance at the Metro Recycling and Disposal Facility. Alderman Skronsky.
Yeah, I make a motion to adopt a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement to certain contain professional environmental engineering services to monitor compliance at the Metro Recycling and Disposal Facility to December 31, 2012, with JSA Civil Environmental Engineering Incorporated.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Alderman Olson.
Just one issue. Tim Solomon and I are avid dumping users as they are as well, Mr. Mayor. Unfortunately, none of us have ready access to who we call with a odor complaint. And it's only by past recognition that I've been told, Mark Wolf. Why am I calling Mark Wolf? So we need to disseminate that information better so that it's available to anybody who needs it. And that's my only thing. That's perfect.
Do you want to just here? Otherwise, I'll address. When people file complaints, they are given to the police department initially and then given to our office, and we make sure the health department, the fire department, and the police department have a copy, and also there is a contact person at the land.
How does that help on a Saturday afternoon?
People call the police department or call the land.
Yes, and if you could please identify yourself.
Sure. My name is Joe Walter Spear, Jr. I'm the president and project manager at JSA Civil Environmental Engineers. Your host agreement with the landfill states that you can call them directly any time of day
they will address a voter complaint immediately, and they have an employee that will drive out and inspect it upon receiving that phone call.
So Mike Hackney?
No, it's the landfill itself. The employee is, his name escapes me, I'm sorry. He hasn't been made much use of. The odor complaint's been down.
Do you think you could?
That's because nobody knows who to call.
I think you could forward that name to all of the aldermen and myself.
Of course.
Right after this meeting. Alderman Skowronski and then the city attorney.
No, I made the motion and everything. I think is the gentleman still employed by, is Bob Schick?
Yes.
But that's not who they call.
No, they call the landfill number, which is 529-6180.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that Mike directs them. I don't see a problem.
The city attorney?
I expected to hear this from the city clerk. I'm going to guess it's 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Similar discussion maybe at the landfill site maybe 6 years ago. At that point, the subject was brought to the council. The council directed that any odor complaints, and I've gotten calls at work on a weeknight at 20 to 9 p.m., and I followed through. Not everybody's up to me, but the council directed immediately gets forwarded to the police department. This is on top of whoever's operating the landfill and what the agreement provides in the monitoring committee and the council. Police department, fire department, health department, and I think the court is just the health department. I stand corrected. But there's follow-up, and the police department and fire department are aware that they check it out immediately. Sometimes you get written complaints 2 days after the fact, say 2 days ago. They still get distributed, as I understand it, but in terms of immediate follow-up, the council directed that, to my knowledge, that always occurs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Skowronski, do you have your hand up?
Well, no, let the other Alderman
okay,
first.
Alderman Wolfe and Alderman Olson.
I was just wondering if the Waste Facilities Committee has a say on this, or do they know we're redoing this, or doing this contract, or do they have a say?
Monitoring Committee or the Waste?
Waste, I don't know, whatever.
Waste Siting Committee.
Yeah, the waste
site. It's a
monetary. Mr. City Attorney?
I believe I copied Mr. Wolf. Yes.
Mr. Wolf contacted me and said that he was very much in support of the Spear contract.
Is that signing committee still around? Monitoring committee? Okay. Well, I know exactly how this works because I researched it when my opponent was running against me, Bob Schick. I called the landfill and I said, do you have Bob Schick working for you? So they said, yes. They said, well, if you have an odor complaint, you call this number and we send Bob Schick out and we pay him to go out and look at the monitoring control, which led me to the fact that Bob Schick didn't disclose that on his campaign form. So I know exactly how it works. So, and it's in the city records, it's in the minutes on several of those committees. You can Google his name in the process, and it's there, and we've been following that for quite a while.
Alderman Olson.
You've all highlighted the point I tried to make. Nobody knows exactly
right.
What the procedure is.
I just told you what it is.
Nobody knows exactly what the procedure is. It's not readily available to anyone, including me, who at times, I'm relatively informed. and I do know my way around the website. It's certainly not there. So let's put this all to bed. Somebody put the procedure and the phone number on the freaking website, and we'll move on.
There you go. Okay, Ms. Liberta.
The correct procedure.
There you go. I like
it. All right.
Motion
on
the
floor. It's been seconded.
Yeah.
For discussion, seeing none, all in favor.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Spears. Proposed policy relative to sewer extension cost recovery. I understand that last night's meeting there was a desire to postpone or to table this item to a
yes.
later date.
Yeah. No, I wanted a little longer than that. It's going to take a little bit for the stuff I want to go on. Let's do it for at least 60 days. Give us a time. Bang it or anything. There's not an urgent here anyway.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Mr. City Attorney.
I'm understanding that that would be the March committee, the whole case. That's like a day or two off of 60 days.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's March. Fine. Yeah.
Right.
March.
Further discussion? March. Seeing none, all in favor? Please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Ayes have it. Motion carries. I'll go down to C and then we can come back to B. Wisconsin Act 97 regarding closing hours, Class A establishments.
Move to table.
Motion to a table.
Second.
Is there a second? Been moved and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item B, it's my understanding that there was much discussion on this, and that there was some desire to table this for about a two-week period to maybe get more information or to accumulate more information. I don't see that as being unreasonable at all. So.
I have a motion, Your Honor. A motion to basically table this to the next common council meeting. And then at that meeting, so Mark, get your pen out. All right. Number one, I'm going to have the contract between the City of Franklin and the City Attorney, including staff and authority, and how that works itself out. Number two, I want our contract with Cal Patterson that we're going to obviously have that will be determined, you know, whether it's 2 years, 6 months. Three, as we discussed last night, Mark, your contract, you said that was going to be redone anyway. Fourth, I'd like a scenario where the Director of Administration has supervision over the Finance Director and the Treasurer. Five, a scenario where that is not the case, where you don't have supervision over those to that department. But also, I think it's Alderman Olson brought up a very good point. We deserve to have a scenario where some of the responsibilities of the Finance Director are divvied up to either outside consultants, and we raise the salary and keep things combined the way they are. And then finally, that the seventh item would be that the charter ordinance is placed on the agenda after all of these items have been decided. I made myself clear why that is.
All right. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion. Mr. City Attorney.
Number one, I never talked to anybody about doing some kind of contract on this other than called Mr. Roberto last week. Follow up to say that why wouldn't we handle this as we do all other matters, line items on a monthly invoice, and itemize where necessary as opposed to doing a contract. And said 5 or 6 years ago, we talked about this all-encompassing contract, and I said, well, it's been good for 18 years. I spent the time doing it. And then yesterday night, I again heard this revisitation to let's do this all-encompassing contract for the job. Now, I don't even know that this is going to be adopted, but I should go down time and spend time starting from day one to put this big contract together that covers everything under the sun that's already been. That's my only comment on it. And for whatever it's worth, nobody's asked me anything, and I haven't said anything about this $47,000. That was an unknown factor at time of budget submission, when it was finally requested to put this as a separate budget submission item. And simple thought was, well, who knows? Came up with 10 hours a week. Thought was, could be 1 hour a week, could be 2 hours a week. It is what it is. And we operate on budget all the time on an hourly basis for about the vast majority of all billings. So it could be 10% of that, it could be 20% of that. We're later advised that, well, it could, probably is 10 hours a week. We don't know. But I can tell you that the task would have been delegated or will be delegated to the assistant city attorney that was part of the budget submission. And also that, if he were here, he would say his goal is to do that for however long it takes, get the department self-supervising, so that it reports to the mayor without other staff there
Well, the only correction I would make is that you and I have had some discussions recently, and after all was said and done, about the $47,000 that I said, fine. I used to have Mr. Wheaton that reported as a direct report to me, and at one time I had building inspection that was a direct report. It's not something that I would look forward to, but I've done in the past. I do think that it, for the person that would succeed me, you're really beginning to make that argument for either returning to a city administrator or for a full-time mayor position. But I have done it in the past, and I would be reluctant, but I can do it. And so I think we, let's add that in essence, those things that we talked about with going over to the city attorney's office after all this discussion, it's a dynamic process, that I would say no to moving that over to the city attorney, and I would take over a direct reporting relationship. I guess I'd add one other thing, and that's that state statute, not ordinance, state statute provides that the mayor already has the ability to direct any staff member of the city anytime he wishes to. That's not something that's negotiable. So in essence, if tomorrow I said that Joel Deedle is a direct report and I want him reporting to me, or the building inspector reporting to me, I believe under statutes I have the ability of doing that. In fact, any employee in the city. I haven't had to do that because I have a fantastic management team. And I believe in chain of command. I don't know, city attorney.
I didn't bring anything up last night about conversation with the mayor because he wasn't here. But part of that was, legal services works with planning all the time. And in terms of whether you call administration supervision or whatever, based on what the mayor just brought up, I thought was an city attorney's office or legal services department under current contract, current provisions, without additional pay or whatever, will emphasize more where needed in a furtherance of any direction or supervision.
I was looking over here when everybody put their hands up, so I don't know who went first. Something like, it was you? All right, Alderman Schmidt. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I just want to clarify that it doesn't sound like you feel like you need any kind of contract, but if one were to be written up for that particular thing that Alderman Taylor said, it sounds like it would only have to be for that portion. It doesn't sound like he was asking you to have you go back and do everything from, everything you've ever done. It sounds like it was just that portion. I just want to clarify that it doesn't need to be all encompassing if it were to do that.
Right. Just a quick point, and that's that when you're sitting down to ask someone to enter into a contract, always be prepared that the person can say, sorry, there will be no contract, you will end the relationship.
Absolutely.
Alderman Olson?
Well, the issue of contract came up somehow in staff discussion, that after a comment that either I or Alderman Taylor made about the word oversight, it was me. I said oversight is like kissing your sister. It means nothing. We wanted the ability, I think, some members of the council. But we wanted the ability of the city attorney's office to actually supervise the department, not oversee it. Because we felt, or at least I felt, there is no teeth in oversee. Then some other discussion happened that we can't do that because the city attorney's contract employee or whatever. So I think, Alderman Taylor, what you're looking for is just resolve that issue, whether it's a contract or an agreement or whatever it is. So that the city attorney's office can supervise the department. That's
it. Okay, but what I'm saying is that we've had subsequent decisions or discussions. City attorney is no longer really. We had broad discussions after just recently because of the conversations here. No longer interested in doing that. So I would say that I would take over the direct reporting relationship.
No. I didn't hear that, and I think given what I know and what I believe, I would absolutely like the city attorney's office to supervise the department.
Well, that was my original intent.
agree to what, and that is the only use of that word is so that the city attorney, you know, couple gets divorced and the kid comes over from one another, says, you can't talk to me that way. I'm not your father. You're not my father, or whatever the deal is, right? I don't want that conversation. I want the ability for the assistant city attorney to pick up the phone and say, do this. And a member of, and I make no preconceived notion that anybody in that department wouldn't do as they were instructed. But we need to lay the official groundwork for it. That's the whole discussion.
Just so you know, that was my total intent. What I was working towards. I think Alderman Solomon has a hand.
I just want to know if we give the work to staff to come up with these contracts that you're asking for, it's not going to get done in 2 weeks. You don't need contracts. What you need to do is sit down and figure out what structure you're going to approve. Until you come up with something that's going to work, don't talk about contracts to me. Because you're going to get the contracts, and then you say, well, we're not going to do that anyway. Why put them through the effort? Doesn't make any sense to me. Tell us what structure you want. We'll put the people in the structure and then turn Mark loose on the contracts and the city attorney. But you need to approve the structure first.
I do have one question to the maker of the motion, and that's that. Would you have any objections to us continuing to move forward with the original plan?
Yes. Of what? The charter ordinance?
No. The original plan of getting the finance director / treasurer while this is all going on. Because while you're making that motion, even if you secure the votes, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a done deal. And the other thing is it's got so much impact on all the employees that they may just say, no, we refuse to do this and take a walk. Now, what I'm saying is I've had some recent conversations with people in the general area, and it's just come to light that there may be one or two
people out there that
are now available, and I can bring that back. My major concern is, as I've said, I think the treasurer told us that they collected $93 million this year. Those dollars need to be moved to various taxing entities. We have many, many bills that need to be paid. Paychecks, payroll, all those things. I can't really think of a higher priority in the city that needs immediate attention, but because of the complexity of this, I think that it's reasonable on part of the council to take this, to spend a little more time and to study this.
I have no problem. I mean, we sat back months ago, or this summer, I believe, and started this process. And we put Cal on a contract starting, what was it, August? Was it August 1st or whatever? And we just, for some reason, and I understand that we could not get somebody. And so if we want to continue to do that while we hash through this, I'm fine with that. So that answers your question. Now, do I have the floor, or is it someone else?
You.
I think all knows this.
Okay.
All right, so okay, I'm going to address a few things here. It's not a whole brand new contract with the city attorney. We operate exactly the way we have, but part of this whole discussion is there's this charter ordinance that we know we need 4 votes, and for some reason certain people in the state determine that certain things are more important than other things, so let us have a higher vote total. I don't know why that is, but that's what's before us. I'm uncomfortable choosing to vote on that issue not knowing what's going to follow. So this is my way of saying I want to see exactly what we're going to do structure-wise the city, because that's our job, to not to look, as Alderman Olson said, shuffling the chairs or moving post-it notes. That's not good management at all. And we got to make a decision that we're looking for the next 5, 10, 20 years, not just, well, this is going to get us through Cal Patterson, through full retirement, and then in 2014 or 15 or whatever, let's all do this again. That's not very good. That's not smart management at all, I do not believe. But what we do is if we, okay, so I want to know what kind of structure we're going to have. In terms of the city attorney with planning, I believe it should be under the city attorney. I believe you should have supervision of it. But oversight, what does that mean? So some sort of contract. And I was trying to think of the Bill Parcells quote, so I brought it with me. And what he said when he was the owner of the Patriots was, if they want you to cook dinner, at least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries. If the person is going to be in charge of other people, let them have some influence or just have some decision-making authority or recommend to the common council who should stay and who should go. I think that is the right thing to have happen. So I want to know what these other, you know, I'm not positive if I think Mark LeBurr's supervision of two other individuals is the best idea. I'm not sure. I want to see how it would work, the chain of command. And when the mayor this evening talks about taking over more departments, more authority, and we had this discussion not that long ago when I said, this is a full-time position, you're doing it full-time, it's not part-time, and you're adamantly opposed to it being full-time. Didn't even want it on a referendum question, but then you allowed it to go on there. And what is so funny is right now we are sitting here and we're talking about a position that Cal has that is so large that people don't want it. So what we're going to do, we're going to give the mayor more responsibilities for a part-time position. We know Fred was here, what, 10 hours a week? And
pardon me?
When Fred.
How many hours?
10? Maybe. So you finished? Or you have more to say on
this?
No,
go ahead.
So basically you put in time. So I think we need to know exactly what the structure of this community is going to be.
The big difference between what you're talking about, full time position, is compensation. I'm already full-time. I'm way over full-time as far as commitment.
Right.
What I'm saying is that it's not that I'm looking for an additional thing, but I can do it. I've done it in the past. If that's what it takes to take care of the $93 million issue, I'll do it.
Well, I don't think that the planning and inspection is part of that $93 million issue. That it just it's we're reshuffling things. So basically, you're asking this is what I want to see. Otherwise, we go back to what we've been doing since last summer, and we go back out there, and we've already had the resolution underlined, triple underlined, bolded, italicized, saying, this ain't going to work, people, so you better go along with what we're doing, which is give me the charter ordinance, and then whatever happens after that, it is 3-3, railroad time, and I'm not going to be a part of that. I want to know how the city is going to be structured before I make that decision, because I can see going either way. But if you think I'm just going to just roll over without really knowing what's coming next, it's not going to happen.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Olson.
Well, I don't think those requests are unreasonable. And as far as staff time on that, he already has most of his contracts already done. And especially if we're supposedly going back the way it was, we have previous contracts from before. So this isn't some really difficult thing that they can't do in 2 weeks. We'd have contract for Cal. We already have a part-time contract for Cal. A little bit of adjustment. Job description, we already have that. The duties for the city attorney, you can pretty much tell us what he's willing to take on and what he's not. We can get that in writing. These aren't things that need to be some big secret that we can't get answers for before we make a decision. It's not unreasonable. And I certainly want to know the answers before we jump into some big restructuring. It seems like we're making this hiring position way more out than it needs to be. You know, I've been interviewed for jobs. You don't exactly meet every job description perfect. You go in there and they ask you, do you think you can do this job? I say, well, I think I feel like I'd be the junk drawer of the company if I had to do all of these things. Well, what parts of this job might you not want to be able to do? Or do you feel aren't appropriate for this position? You name them off, and they say, okay, bring it back to council and take those off of there. we got a qualified candidate. However, they feel this, this, and this aren't within what they think they should be doing, or they feel it's too much. So I don't understand why we're not running this like you do most businesses. Why is this such a big deal? I just don't get that. And we have bills to pay. If I drop dead, my bills would have to be paid. My daughter or somebody would have to pick up and pay my bills. And I'll tell you, I haven't had a real good track record keeping everything, and they're going to have to figure it out. And I'm sure they'll be able to figure it out. You know, if the city is run right, and the finance department is keeping track of what they should be doing, somebody should be able to step over there and check out the numbers. Why is this so difficult? CPA, we hire CPAs everywhere. We have people looking at stuff. They come in, look at it. I mean, you have the same thing. We have an audit. You know, we don't always have the same people having an audit. How do they figure it out? Really? I mean, this isn't, to me, it's like favoritism. We're creating these jobs. We're moving things around. I agree with Alderman Taylor. It's not unreasonable to have things in place. See it, understand it, know where we're heading, and I think 2 weeks we can do this. I think we'll be comfortable once we have that. It's not that big of a deal.
Alderman Wolfholm, just to address two of your questions. I said, what's the big deal? This isn't just another position. This is the treasurer of the city. This is the person that is entrusted with making sure that the taxpayers' dollars, our constituent dollars, are handled in a most prudent financial manner. We collect the taxes for other taxing units. We have to make sure that fiduciary responsibility for those $93 million is handled in an appropriate manner. The city has also had a situation where we've had a situation with a treasurer, so there's much higher scrutiny on this particular position. We went through the process. We had a candidate, Stellar, that, from what I've been informed, is that the person thought the job required too much, was too much work, not enough pay for the position. That was the first. Second individual we had, we in essence were about 4 or 5 hours away from hiring the person, bringing them to the Common Council, and this situation would not be in front of them. We've had others that required checks, background checks, especially when you're looking at a treasurer position that go way over and above what you would apply to many positions in the civil service system. This is not a run-of-the-mill standard position. This is the treasurer of your city. There's much higher scrutiny. The second part is, I think you're going from a position that, okay, this is what we would like, and this is what we would like to have in the contract. That's a one-way set of negotiation. You could have a situation where the management that has gone on very well under the jurisdiction of this Common Council could be disturbed greatly. I mean, I think you're making a fruit basket out of this thing. And then the last point is, let's think about poor management. I'll use my professional opinion, and I am a professional human resources manager and labor relations expert, that the plan that you have in front of you is one of the best plans and will work. And the reason it will work is Mr. Liberta has had this job in the past for a very large county, Kenosha County. And Mr. Patterson is a tried and proven employee that has already had the job of a treasurer. It's not something that we're looking at. Maybe they can do it. Maybe they can't do it. And why am I putting so much emphasis on this? Again, I have 93 million reasons for it. This is not like hiring one of our DPW workers.
Just one comment. I should have just went back to the first Stellar person and asked them what they should have, what if they would have done to take the job. We could have just done that, but we didn't. It wasn't good enough.
Better find out people if you don't want to work that hard.
Alderman Olson and Alderman Solomon.
Well, Mr. Mayor, all due respect, we're making a lot of drama out of this. Mm-hmm. If we can't pay $93 million to do five tax amenities, we got a bigger problem. So I appreciate the drama. I don't get it. But if you're telling me that you've got some candidates to replace the director of finance and treasurer, one position, I say go get them. And then all this other foolishness that I think it is, of all these shufflings, deck chairs or Orchard Hosted Notes, is a waste of time. So I'm going to support, with one exception, I think we can take the city attorney's requirements out of there as long as we have the understanding that it's supervision, it's not oversight. Let's move forward with Alderman Taylor's motion. You go ahead and advertise for the position. You'll know by the time we get ready to act on these things whether we've got a director of finance and treasurer or need to do a plan B. Let's move on.
All right, a motion on the floor has been seconded under discussion. Alderman Taylor.
Well, regarding
Alderman Solomon.
Yeah, I guess I am going to lecture you because some of you just don't understand how government works yet.
Okay,
this is not about Cal. This is not about the finance director. This is about who's going to get laid off in planning, not by seniority. That's what this amounts to. Two of you don't understand how the civil service works. You're talking about Cal here tonight, he just saved you $430,000 over the next 3 years. He was just talking about some of the investments. He's investing over $12 million every month. And that's just on one side of the ledger. You know what it's going to cost you to farm that work out? Some of you need to listen. Some of you need to learn a little bit about what the civil service program is all about in government, because you don't know what it is.
Alderman Taylor.
Well, if it's not about Cal, we just heard two things that he does, so I think it is partially about Cal, so I tend to disagree with that. Regarding Alderman Olson bringing up the first time with the city attorney, I think there's a consensus of up here, or at least there's maybe half of us that believe it should be, the supervision should be under the city attorney of that department. And I think the discussion of that took place last night was he should have a chance to do what he thinks is necessary to that department. Now, that means if it's just an oversight that's ready, then come back and it's understanding that if any changes he recommends to us because he cannot himself terminate, then is that correct, Mark? That if that was put on his jurisdiction, would he be able to, he wouldn't be able to hire or fire? He would be able to recommend to us?
There would be obstacles to that.
Okay. So then, and regarding that,
I'm going to confirm it.
Right. So that's I'm looking at. You know, bring that back for us to look at. You know, each are separate. Each item. This is all going to be on the agenda one by one. So it's not a. But that's what I'd like to just see, because I think he should have a say. At least I would if I was overseeing a department. That, you know, at one point we said there's nothing wrong with it, but then in the budget it was recommended to shift stuff around. So I wanted to see what can and can't be done. That's just a part of it. And then if we kept everything the way it was, we find the perfect candidate, great. That's what we tried to do the first time. But we were unsuccessful. The mayor now said there's a couple people that there may be out there. And, you know, without having new posted notes. I mean, I like Steve's analogies. They're very good. Yeah. Made the meaning memorable. So
I keep telling him, I'm just another pretty
fit. I know, exactly. So, you know, when I talk about, you have to, when you make decisions, you have to look long-term. And I think, well, if we just are doing this on a short-term basis because somebody's going to be retiring and we don't want to lose them, people leave all the time. You know, people get hit by a bus and then we have to react. And I know that was, I remember saying when Mark and I talked, I think it was Friday night on the phone, and he brought in the hit by the bus scenario, and I said, well, I'll answer the same way it was when I asked to him on December 20th, said, how come you never picked up the phone and told me what was going on? And I said, remember the scenario about being hit by the bus, and you said you hadn't been hit by the bus. Well, there's Cal. So you cannot, you know, are we going to have plans for the clerk, for Jack, city attorney? And we don't want them to ever leave, but it's inevitable that people will retire. So, and yes, and the mayor, I'm six-time $93 million. I understand the amount of money we collect.
The point with Mr. Patterson is not retention, because if it was the retention, we're talking about a completely different position. It just so happens that you now have the ability to maybe keep a person that is a proven veteran who is respected throughout the entire financial world. He is. Yes. Well, you know, this may be humorous, but to some, we've had a situation in this city that's occurred where we had a treasurer that the DA went after, and then the city went after, where there were funds missing. I don't think that's humorous at all. I think you have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that those dollars, the taxpayers' dollars, are protected. We have a proven commodity that, after considerable discussion, may be willing to look at a part-time position. If I were him, I would have told you a long time ago, take a walk. I guess the other thing is that we're talking about the charter ordinance. There are other ways of getting around things. There's 1,800 municipalities in Wisconsin. My understanding is many of those municipalities are handled by either full-time law firms or they have private consultants that come in. You can hire them on an hourly basis. Some municipalities have banks take care of all their affairs. So, I don't know, folks. I understand the desire to spend some more time on this, and it is a very complex issue. But let's not lose sight of the fact that we've had a problem in the past regarding this position. And right now you have what I'd call a 100% secure plan that will take care of you for many, many years to come. Alderman Olson, Alderman Wilhelm.
Here's a fact. Cal wants to retire. Pick a period of time. So we have to replace him. We have to replace the position. We're moving forward to attempt to do that, but in the meantime, we're making all kinds of changes to accommodate the individual that's going to retire. And yeah, I'd like to retain him for a while too. So I'd like us to move forward here. Only one suggested amendment to the motion would be to authorize the mayor and the city department administrator, city administrator, Mark, to go forth and advertise for hiring Director of Finance and Treasurer, one position. That would be nice.
I'll accept that.
So I call the question.
All right, the question's been called. I think it does require a second. Is there
second?
So moved and seconded to call the question. On the matter of calling the question, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Well, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman
Wilmer?
Aye.
Alderman
Sound?
No.
Alderman
Olson? Aye. 4 ayes, 2 noes. Ayes have it. So we now go to the main motion. Madam Clerk, please read back the motion.
Alderman Taylor moved to table to the January 24th, 2012 Common Council meeting the following. Contract with the city attorney for the supervision of the planning department. Contract with Cal Patterson for a period of time to be determined. Contract with the Director of Administration. Scenario with the Director of Administration supervising the Director of Finance and Treasurer. Scenario scenario with the director of administration not supervising the director of finance and treasurer. Scenario with some responsibilities of the director of finance divided among others. Charter ordinance to repeal the office of director of finance and treasurer, to create the office of treasurer, and to amend the municipal code as it pertains to such positions to be placed on the agenda following the above items, and also to authorize the mayor and director of administration to proceed with hiring the director of finance and treasurer.
Is that your motion?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right, and who's second?
Yeah.
And you're okay with that? All right. Any further discussion? Alderman Schmidt.
Call the question.
Oh, that's right. The question's been called. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Hulse?
Aye.
Alderman Solomon?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky?
No. 4 ayes, 2 noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Next item.
Motion to table. Oh, we did that right. Oh, you were talking about 14? Oh, 14. Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that.
Second. Motion to table. Till when?
Till probably March, you say it, to the next.
Those items should be on the list of things that you've just asked me for and enumerate in the next meeting. So they will be included into that list.
So we should table this?
Probably following the charter ordinance. So if you just table it for the next meeting,
okay,
it will be in that long list.
All right.
All right. All those in favor, please signify. Mr. City Attorney.
Just one point, and I'm not too sure that everybody understood this yesterday, but this charter ordinance, you know, Alderman Taylor mentioned a couple of times that apparently the legislature felt that it was important for these positions. Charter ordinance was triggered by a statutory provision in the statute that lists all the municipal offices, such as clerk, treasurer. Then there's a provision that says, should the governing body wish to combine any offices, it shall do so per the charter ordinance. And the combination took place when treasurer was combined in position of director or finance director or director of finance. So that's what triggered the requirement for a charter ordinance. So then the question came up last week, does that mean if you're in effect undoing a charter ordinance, does it have to be a charter ordinance? And there's not a perfect answer to that other than the general rule, which is when government undoes something or changes something that's been previously done, it does it in the same format. And because of the import of the subject matter, I call lead counsel just for a second concurring opinion, and that's what I received. So that's why there's a charter.
Question, Mr. City Attorney. I was involved, and Alderman Olson was involved in the charter ordinance and the restructuring of the entire government. Actually, it was my idea to do that. As an alderman, positions were put in place. One of them was a treasurer position, and there was a chart. In fact, I came out with a chart, and I think you had a final chart on it, which is incorporated and is in the ordinances today. When the position was combined with finance and treasurer, I don't recall that we went and changed the charter ordinance on it. In other words, I guess my question is I think the treasurer's position was never abolished as a chart that is and has existed this entire time.
If it was abolished.
The treasurer's position?
One of the, I have it here, but I'm...
Was it done by 4 votes and through the same procedure?
I'm assuming the original charter ordinance was, actually I know the original charter ordinance before we
approve 6-0. I don't know if the clerk can pull up the charter ordinance. She's got it, but it's available online. And I look at it quite frequently. I'm not sure that that's ever been altered. Alderman Olson.
The point is if in fact you do have a couple of people who may be qualified for the combined position, it's all moot anyway. We'll hire that person and off we go. Everybody's happy. No more arguing. on this issue. And we're all good.
Yeah. Oh,
so
come on.
Keep going.
Yeah. I have to throw this out, and that's that the current plan that's before you, I think is a much more desirable plan, and overall is a plan that should have been put in place to begin with. We have two fantastic parties that have already been in these jobs and have handled it and are totally proven on it.
Ordinance 2004-1797, Section 2, did abolish the previous title. And then create the new one that Cal held the office of.
Is that the motion from the minutes of the meeting?
No, this is the actual sign.
Can you look up the minutes and find out if there are four votes that did not?
On the bottom of it, it does indicate that it was passed 6-0, except for Section 3 that actually appointed Cal to the position, which was approved 5-1. So all of them.
What was the date of this?
2004, it is 18th of May, 2004.
Okay, that would make some sense.
Yeah.
Just thinking back to the council at that time.
Item H1.
Item H1, yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Glad to see you two are getting along.
Yeah, surprisingly, these last 2 days. It's
Kind
of feel warm inside.
Two Steves. All right, item H.
The only place
Alderman Solomon.
Landmark Franklin review of the 2011 police incident reports referred to the city clerk for additional clarification and to the city attorney's office for revocation hearing for the Landmark Class B combination license. Fugate, approve. Gridley, hold for appearance. Kessel, approve. Malik, approve. Singh, for a taxi cab driver, approve car 2, approve pending satisfactory inspections on car 1. El Muhib, approve. Fleet Reserve, approve. Military Order of Kuwait, approve.
Is there a second to the motion? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item I-1. You have before you a list of vouchers, amount of $1,799,598.60. Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Scrimson.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have the payroll of December 30th, 2011, in amount of $412,737.44 in front of you. Your motion to approve.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Sell.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scranton.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.